Thank you, Ben. So I'm very happy to be back to Perimeter. So I did my postdoc here. It was a lot of fun, and I'm happy to see all friends. And in fact, the stuff I'm going to be talking about today is partly based on the work I did here at Perimeter. So I had a paper with Davide, who's hopefully coming, which connects three-dimensional quiver gauge theories with various kinds of integrable systems. And somewhat, in some sense, this this work, which I've been doing recently with, well, primarily with Edward Frankel, Daniel Sage, and Anton Seitlin, is a mathematical development of the ideas that we had, but of course, including some new ideas that existed independently in the math literature, right? So maybe a couple of kind of motivational points. So the first, for me, like, you know, I've been studying this supersymmetric gauge theories, and then they're tightly connected to enumerative algebraic geometry, right? So the first part is enumerative AG. So in my case, this is a quantum equivariant K theory. So K theory of symplectic resolutions, for example, of quiver varieties. And in the physics language, these are three-dimensional, you know, so 3D n equals 4 supersymmetric theories, right? And then essentially the idea is that as this enumerative counts, when you have space of quasi-maps or stable maps or what have you, is related to the sigma model description of the theory, right? So you have a moduli space of maps from P1 to your target, right? And then you need to compactify it in some proper way and then integrate over the moduli space of maps, right? So that's one approach. Second is, of course, the geometric representation theory. Right, in particular, geometric Langlands, or its Q version. Right? And essentially the OPERs, which initially were kind of, they play a big part of it, right? I mentioned it towards the end. So essentially there are two sides, right? This A side and B side, Galois and automorphic, right? And OPERs appear on one of those sides. Let me not load the talk with content with this fancy terms right now. I'm gonna kind of start slow and build up to more abstract stuff. And next, the last one is the, what was the last one? Oh yeah, integrability, right. So, right. Second part of the talk, so integrable systems. So what kind of integrable systems do we know? We know spin chains, right? People in the room who know and love spin chains. And then like XXX, XXZ, XYZ, and plus some spin deformations, spin deformations, right? And also continuous many body integrable systems like Calogero, Roisin-Ars, and stuff like this. And many body. Like Calogero-Moser or its relativistic generalization is called Roisin-Ars Schneider, SCH. And there's some plus some elliptic version, which I'm going to mention in the end. So it turns out that there's an interesting duality, and that's what we explored with Davide when I was here as a postdoc. Excuse me. That there's an interesting connection between these two types of models. So what we looked at was kind of XXZ chain here, which somewhat corresponds to K theory of quiver varieties, and this Roisin-Ars type models over there. And in a nutshell, the kind of in sort of physics words, physics terminology, the duality works like this, that you have spin chain, and you have a family of deformation parameters. You can have you can play with twist. If it's a closed spin chain, you can play with twist boundary conditions, right? You have the open chain, you close it up, and you have a kind of matrix of twists, handful of twists. You can play with its eigenvalues, and you can also introduce the anisotropies like of the interaction on each side. So these are two types of deformations which have direct meaning in terms of phase space of the system. And mathematically, what you're studying, so those parameters would correspond to some kind of singularities in the moduli space, so in the space of opers, and some another twisted boundary conditions, well, at infinity. So basically, the upshot is this 1, 2, and 3, they have, so the, if you sort of study space of opers, it sheds some light on all of them. So opers provide a new perspective on the above. Any questions about motivation? Yeah, so like different people in the room, so essentially it's going to be a math talk, but people in the room will be able to see some connections with what they know. Okay, so, oops. Let's begin. So first, we're going to talk about GQ opers. Well, you may ask, what's the origin of the word oper? It's a bit tricky. So there's a direct meaning, and then there's some kind of dark side. So you can read Ed Frankel's book about the dark side of it. Essentially, oper is the short from, it's a Russian word that, so like operativnik, it's like a cop who investigates, you know, crimes and stuff like that. And Belinson and Drinfield, who invented the term, they had issues with the law enforcement in the Soviet Union before they immigrated to the US. And sort of, that's why it has kind of a double meaning. Oper, like an operator, of course, right? So there'll be a differential operator that I'm going to write down. But it also has this, well, dark side here. Okay, so G here could be simply connected complexly group. And then in the first, well, 20 minutes or so, let me say that it's type A, so G is GLN. Sort of K, actually R plus one in this notation. So as always, in type A, you can do much more explicitly than in usual, like in sort of in a general case. So why don't we start with type A? And yeah, so, good, so the, so consider, so let E be a holomorphic vector bundle of rank R, oh, sorry, R plus one over P one. Right, and then on the P one, we will consider multiplication, right? So say assume it's trivializable, right? So trivializable vector bundle, and then there's a operation which I call MQ from P1 to P1, which takes the local coordinate and just multiplies it by Q, right? So Q is some non-zero complex number, right? And then say E superscript Q is the pullback of this bundle under the separation. Pull back under MQ. So okay, so then the definition, a meromorphic GL R plus one comma Q oper on P1 So it's a triple of the connection bundle and the flag of subbundles, which I'll specify in a second, where so where the this L L bullet, right, is a flag. It's L1 inside L2 inside and so on inside LR inside LR plus 1, which is equal to E. Right, it's a complete flag of subbundles. And such that then A here right is a actually here we should put some subset U. So if U is a open Zariski dense subset of P1, right, and then A here is called the so the section of this sheaf, right? So essentially, it's the set of all linear transformations from E to EQ, right? Over which are defined over some open subset of P1, right? Which satisfying the following, right? So first, A acting on Li is inside Li minus 1, OK, which means I need to change my notation. I'm sorry for that. R plus 1 R to 1. It's I want to go down, right? So essentially, as I act on the as I act on, say, Lr plus 1, I go into the next subspace and so on, right? And then part 2 is that and this is kind of the main upper condition. So the restriction of A to set V, which is equal to U intersection with MQ inverse of U, right? So you need to make sure that it works, satisfies the following. So AI, this is the restriction. When we act on Li, so this AI, so those maps from Li mod Li plus 1 to Li minus 1 mod Li, Q shifted, right? They are isomorphisms. On V. Okay? Hi, Kevin. Yeah, so the essentially, what's going on here? So A is this linear map, right? And it acts like this. And then if you look at this restriction on this factor, right, there are R plus 1 of those, or R of those, then if you take the next guy quotient by the previous one, and it's isomorphic to the following guy quotient by the first one, and you do it kind of for every embedding. So for example, for SL2, and we'll do SL2 example in more detail. So for SL2, or like GL2, the flag is very short. You have just L inside E, right? So this is a line bundle. This is rank 2 vector bundle. And then this map A, there's just one of them, from L to E mod L Q is an isomorphism. What does it mean, like, in terms of linear algebra? So the total space is a two-dimensional complex vector space, right? The fiber is a two-dimensional complex vector space. And then, so think about this way. So we have P1, your base, right? Then there's a point Z here, and you have your fiber, right? Say L is spanned by in some local trivialization, some vector S of Z, right? So we have your vector S here. Okay, and now sort of, this A is some kind of a connection, so Q generalization of the connection. So it's like the difference generalization of the parallel transport, right? So then you look at, because it's Q graded, you look at the fiber over QZ, right? And then now you act with the matrix, right? 2x2 matrix on the vector S of Z. And what happens when you act with the matrix on the vector, right? It rotates, right? So you expect it to rotate around. By some amount, right? So, and what is this thing? It's the complement to L, right? So, which means that as you act with this transformation on the vector from this one-dimensional subspace, you always go to the complement, right? So, if this condition is satisfied, you have your OPER. Actually, what may happen is that the vector stays parallel, right? And that's what that will describe in a moment. This is when we have a singularity on the base. Okay. Good. Yeah, and essentially when you have the SLM case or JLM case, you have to impose it every time. So we're gonna, okay, great. So, we're almost done describing the operator. So the, and then yeah. So if you impose that the determinant of A is equal to 1, then you can have SL Q operator, right? Instead of GL, and mostly I'll be working with SL operators. Now let's talk about Q gauge transformations. So if you want to change the trivialization of, so if G of Z is a change of the trivialization, so it's in some element from the loop group, right? You can ask yourself how the connection will modify, right? And you can see that it will go like this. Right, so this is the Q analog of the gauge transformations, right? So you would have inverse. Yeah. It's like a twisted conjugation. Okay, good. Any questions so far? Great. So now let's write down. So I gave you kind of the preview of SL2 example, but I just want to spell out more explicitly what happens in JLM case. Right, so we're gonna write some concrete formulae in a given trivialization. So let the line subbundle LR plus one be the span of, let's call the vector that generates that line S of Z, right? And then sort of, well, we'll see how this works. We act with a Q connection on this guy. We go to LR, and then act again. We go to LR minus one, et cetera, et cetera. So we can write the following kind of object. So we'll say, so we have S of Z, and then so let's call it WI of S of Z. So W stands for Wronskian, right? So we have S of Z wedge A of Z S of QZ wedge A of Z A of QZ. You know, it gets kind of this telescopic structure, right? Da da da. Well, A of Z AQ, I think I minus 2 Z S of Q I minus 1 Z. All right, so this is kind of a wedge product, right? And then if I project it down onto the exterior power of lambda I, a lambda r plus 1, right? This is going to be a determinant of some matrix, right, of the sizes I by I, right? Sort of. And then this Q upper condition, so 2 is equivalent to the fact that the Wi of S of Z are not equal to 0. And so simply means that, well, no two vectors from the set are parallel to each other. And because if they are, the wedge product vanishes, and we have ourselves a singularity. And so let's talk about this. Essentially, let's allow this this product to have some zeros over here.
That S of Z is a specific section, or?
Yeah, it's a section.
It's one. So
what do you mean one?
You choose just one, you use a span.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct. Just it's a line bundle. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So like it's a complete flag. So the ranks, they grow from 1 to r plus 1. OK, and now you may want to modify this because you want some extra structure here. So let's add singularities. Yeah, so n SL r plus 1 comma q upper with the regular singularities. Says at say a1 through al, and now I can also add weights. And weights k1 through kl is given by the following condition. So this now I want to add some polynomial of z of certain degree, right? So it will be the wi of s of z is equal to lambda of z, which will be like the product essentially, I want them to vanish. I want it to vanish at those fixed points, right? At this, and also at some certain q multiples of those, right? So you can think about it this way. So think of p1. Let's remove 0 and infinity. Well, there are some reasons we can think. Oh wait, no. This is L sub. Thank you. I don't need double index. That's right. It's L from 0. Yeah. So, okay. So, think about it this way. So, I have my singularity. Let's say a1, and then q multiplication by q. That's the monodromy around the cylinder, right? So, and I can create like a tower of those points, right? And then this tower of points is what in spin chain language is called the weight, right? To be the spin of that. At that point. Good, so we want our upper to have, basically, yeah, what happens is that at some loci, some points on the base, you have yourself a singularity, right? So like this, well, as you do so, you act with a connection, and then the vector does not move. It stays the same. So that's first modification. And second modification, I want to introduce twists. So we're going to have z twisted. So the twisted Q upper is when I am allowing my Q connection to be diagonalizable to just a central element, right? So there exists a gauge transformation like this one. Such that essentially say G of QZ A of Z, G of Z inverse is equal to, want to call it capital Z, which is just the element from the Cartan, right? Which is just the constant element. So H inside of H of Z inside SL r plus 1 of Z.
Yeah. you want this to be true globally, or?
Yeah.
You want a globally defined gene.
That's right. Yeah, so the, yeah, so those are the twists. And then, good. And then there's one more condition. Yeah, now basically you can ask yourself how, like what is the explicit form of the connection. So to satisfy all of that, so it will look something like this. So it's like a, it will be a matrix.
So why would you then just go into the H?
Oh no, sorry, I said something. No, that's just a local gauge transformation.
Local.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, I thought about that. Like, yeah, so Z is of course just, yeah, so like Z is constant for all of them, right? But essentially in every patch, I want to have that there's a G, right? That does me this. Yeah, I don't want, yeah, that's right. It's probably not, doesn't exist.
Is there any constraint on that Z, small Z, or? Is infinite and zero special, so you call it
P1. Yeah, that's right. So in fact, like technically, we should think of C star. So when we talk about singularities of hoppers, we want to remove zero and infinity from them.
Is there any constraints on how infinity would do an infinity like A or
So I want A to be some meromorphic function. Yeah, so it will be some meromorphic connection. So, yeah, I don't impose any specific constraints on like what the order of poles and stuff like that. But yeah, so yeah. Other questions? Right. Yeah. So and then you can see that the matrix would look like this. You have something on a diagonal. There will be something below the diagonal, and then on the super diagonal. Have those lambdas, right? So 3 and so on, lambda r, and here we can have 0. And so the a connection which looks like this, will satisfy all of the conditions essentially. And if you see that you need to go to the next guy, right? You act on it with the one vector 0, 0, 0, 1, you go to the two dimensional subspace and you go to three dimensional subspace and four dimensional subspace. Okay, and then some something interesting may happen along the way. Okay, and then we need the last part of this construction, which is called the Miura hopper. Okay, Miura SL R plus 1 Q hopper. Right, so. Yeah.
So
that
I was
not. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hold on, let me write the index carefully. I said it in my notes. Yeah, right. So basically, I want it to be for every guy, right? So it's the. Yeah, I know. I know. Let me fix that. Yeah, so. Yes. Like this. So they had it.
What is
L? One second. Yes. So I want them to be. Yeah, that's right. So basically, I want for every projection, right? I can only have so many singularities, right? So you can have say, so there's like that's right. So can be, if you just have two of them, like there are only like handful of singularities. So if you have more, they can vanish at different kind of positions and stuff like that.
So that's a general inequality
So not at the moment. So like as you know, if you have a Kuiper gauge theory, that there are, but here there are none. So in that sense, it kind of extends the space of parameters, right? Because a priori you can put just about anything you want.
Just orient myself, but will the T operator of a spin chain have a regular of these regular singularities?
Yeah, so that will be part the eigenvalue of the transfer matrix. Yeah, it will be lambda will be part of that. It's basically lambda Q divided by lambda shifted plus another same combination shifted backwards. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So if you wait like 5 minutes, I'll write it down. Yeah.
So then the spin chain on these lambdas are really like quantum-like values.
They are. It's the polynomial. So A's in the spin chain are this. Impurities, anisotropies in the spin. Yeah. So Z's will be the twists, and A's will be the A's. And the Planck's constant is Q. Right. Or like logarithm of Q. Oh, sorry. Good. So now, and then things that allow us to do the computation is the Milrow operator. So we have, so now it's a quadruple. So we have bundle connection, and then there are two flags, L and L hat. And you require that L hat is preserved by the connection. Sort of. Right. So you have.
This would be not to remind me how you call the case of XXX.
So in our paper with Anton, we call them J epsilon operators. And then the difference is that instead of multiplying, you shift by epsilon.
Yeah,
that's right.
So do you call Q operators and the other you call?
Well, I'll do the diamond in the end. Yeah, basically there are, so like XX, ZXXX, they're this either difference or finite difference operators, and Gadan, they're differential operators, like the for trigonometric Gadan, yeah, that's right. But like kind of the whole machinery works the same way, so essentially. And if this is universal. Yeah, so it's pretty preserved by the connection, right? And then essentially there's always a choice of the basis. So let's pick the basis for this guy L hat, right? And let it be the standard basis in the space of sections. So we just have E1, E2, just the canonical basis, ER plus 1, right? And then this flag will be described by, well, say, the same variables, right? And then sort of what we want to understand is that how these two flags, they interact with each other. So in general, we expect them to be in a generic relative position. But what it could happen that they align at some points on P1 where some degenerations will happen, right? So so we expect L and L hat to be in generic relative position. And then we have additional singularities when they align. So let's see how this plays out. So now I'm going to generalize this definition of W. I'm going to say, I'm going to call them the di of S of Z. And they would look, they'll look in the following way. So I'm going to have this vectors from the standard basis for a while, E1 wedge to R plus 1 minus K. So these are kind of, it's like, I see how my other flag is aligned with the first one, and then here I start kind of the same expression. So S of Z wedge. So I hope that the integrable system folks will see something that they know very well in a second, and then S of Q to the I minus. Yeah, sorry. I act with A's, A of Z, bunch of times. Q to how many of them we have? I of them, right? So I minus 2. Right, essentially, I now take the graph expression and complete it to the maximal rank by vectors from the standard basis, right? And now let's see what can happen here. So previously, I had Opper singularities when two vectors from here aligned with each other, right? And that gave me the root of lambda. But what might happen is that one of these vectors becomes parallel to one of those. And that's an additional way to get a singularity, right? So this determinant, now it's R plus 1 by R plus 1 matrix, and this determinant can vanish when this additional condition happens. So we want this to be equal to Wi of Z. Sorry?
Singularity.
Well, when you write Q difference Opper, there will be like an actual pole there. Like if I write, in certain gauge, right? So.
Okay, I see. So these are like the singularities of the polynomial.
Yes, that's right. And then times another polynomial, I can call it Vi of Z. Right? So those are this additional singularities when these vectors align. And for people who are familiar with spin chain, these will be the beta roots of the spin chain. So this is a singularity of a different type, different kind. Let me lift this up. Okay, good. We're doing a good time. And then just maybe I'm gonna mention one more about the general. I'm talking about SLN so far, but for general G, and I'll get to there in a bit. So I haven't given you the definition of G Opper, but assume that I did. And basically, instead of having the vector bundle, you need to have a principal G bundle with a reduction on the Borel, say B plus, right? Sort of this generic condition, would look somehow like this. So we have C, so these are two different Borel reductions to opposite Borel subgroups. So in general case, you will have principal G bundle connection, and then FB plus and FB minus, right? So kind of upper triangular matrices for SLN and lower triangular matrices for SLN, and then kind of this generic condition will look like this. So if you specify like the torsor, so just look at the fiber at some point x, right? So it's isomorphic to some, well, to B plus itself, but you can also multiply by some group element over here, depending on where the x is, right? And similarly, F B minus x is isomorphic to some B times B minus, right? And the condition that you want to impose here is that A times B inverse is equal to 1. And so like this, these two elements, A times B inverse should be the identity element. All right, so the reason for this is the following. So if you take your group G and consider the double quotient, so this is the Weil group, right? And I want this to correspond to the maximal permutation of the maximal length, right? So when this happens, I say that my flags are in generic relative position.
Two flags are transverse, so the filtration.
That's the transversality condition.
So it's a really have reduction to H.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. And in this case, you won't, right? When that condition fails, right? So that's right. Good. So let me build up on this a bit more. So now you can actually write this as a determinant of a matrix, right? So this not this one, the D. Which one? Let's erase the definition. Yeah, so basically the kind of Lie theoretic part of Q Oppers versus differential Oppers is not that much different. There's some differences here and there, but in natural design. The reason why we love Q Oppers is because we love, K theory and these dualities and stuff like that. The three-dimensional mirror symmetry, it all kind of part of the story. Good, so, and then, so those DIs are the, well, we can write this as a matrix, right? So it's a determinant of the matrix. So we have R plus, well, I columns with this canonical basis, right? 1, 1, 1, right? And then you have the, like S, AS, and so on, right? So so it's the matrix which is, will look like this, and its determinant will be determinant of kind of this block over here, right? Now, the in the maximal case, right, so you'll have the complete determinant, which is called the Q-Wronskian. Well, they're all Q-Wronskians, right? Because, you know, you take the vector functions, S of Z, you then take the Q-shifts, and then the Q-shifts again. Yes?
Sorry, you define G as some wedge power of the vectors. Now you know this is a matrix.
It's a determinant of the matrix.
Why
didn't I? That's right. Yeah, so I take the wedge power and then I project it in here. I project it down to the proper subspace. In there, it's already like the matrix of the right size. Yeah, which is called the Wronskian. And it's even a twisted Wronskian, right? Because I have this twist. Okay. So theorem, which is this is where this famous QQ system comes in, right? Essentially, those polynomials VIs are Q functions from the QQ system. So so let VI is equal to the product. Little v I a goes from 1 to some rank r, well, say li, some numbers, and it says that these polynomials they give solution to the QQ system. Right, which looks like this, zeta I plus 1, q plus I of qz, q minus I of z, minus zeta I, q plus of z, q minus qz. So q minus an auxiliary polynomial, I'm going to say about this in a second, zeta I plus 1 minus zeta I. Right, so such that q plus I of z is equal to vi of z, right? And q minuses are some auxiliary polynomials. We'll talk about them in a second. Right, so see here that there's this functional difference equation, right? On this function, on V and some other set of polynomials which satisfies this relation. So on the right hand side, we have lambdas, the proper singularities, and kind of the previous guy and the next guy. So you can think of kind of traveling along the Dynkin diagram of SLN, right? So in the ith vertex, you have interaction with the previous term and the next term. Right, so this is the same QQ system that appears in spin chains, and moreover, there is an explicit formula. Let me not write it down. So Q plus I is a certain ratio of determinants. So it's determinant of one of those D matrices normalized by the determinant of some kind of Vandermonde matrix properly written, and similarly, Q minus is ratio of another determinant of some twisted some twisted DI divided by some determinant of of the van der Monde. So to see how this works, so in fact, if we think of this matrix, like big matrix, let's call this matrix D, right? This state is equivalent to the so-called we call it Alice in Wonderland identity, right? So it's Lewis Carroll formula. So what you do, you take this matrix D, right, and then say you want to remove the first column and first row, compute its determinant. Then you multiply, then you take this matrix, you remove the last and the last, and multiply this to determinants. And then you do it in slightly different order. So you remove the first row and the last column, and then the first column and the last row. And that's equal to removing all of them times removing nothing. So the in this formula, the square represents the determinant of the matrix of the corresponding size, right? And then we would remove some rows and some columns. All right, so this identity appears in many places, right? So if you wish, it's kind of high rank generalization of just the determinant of a 2x2 matrix, AD minus BC equals determinant, right? So that's determinant. This is like AD minus BC. Oh yeah, so here it's assumed that I diagonalized my connection, right? So here the Z is a diagonal matrix with eigenvalues zeta 1, zeta r plus 1. So I picked a gauge transformation, right, that diagonalized my connection. And zetas are the twists, right? So they are the eigenvalues of the connection. So now let's talk about this Q minus and other Qs, which may appear from the point of view of offers. So,
naive question. So is this 2Q system, this equation, related to RDT kind of thing, or?
Oh, well, I mean, RDT is the representation of the Youngian, right? Or the,
Qs are conditions that this version will be Youngian. There are a bunch of components which find
the
TQ relations
or
QQ relations.
Right, so I mean, it's connected via the TQ relation, right? So those same Qs, they satisfy TQ relation, which I didn't write down, right? And So Q is what? Is the generator for in RTT? It's some character of representations of the shifted end, I think.
The L operator generates Q in
these old papers. Oh, yeah, right, sure. Sort of. Yeah, it's like, right. In some presentation, the L operator is just composition of those Qs, right, with the shifted.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. It's like,
my Q is a problem.
Oh, right. So it's like L, yeah.
I'm not just too much matrices, essentially differential operators.
In some order, you pick an order because they don't commute, right? And then you kind of compose them, like, you know, kind of L1, L2.
Wow,
so the statement is that, like, it's the two-step version of that story. But I turn Z off, for example.
Well, there must be a twisted version of the RTT, right? So, there must be a twisted version of Perl.
It's
what is called a category, like a, what is a Grothendieck ring?
Twisted was not used in the same sense. So it has to do with the, and Youngian is like matrices, and Grothendieck is polynomials, Lorentz series in V, which starts at one, and in the group, the algebra, and it shifts Youngians. Something like the diagonal matrix or something.
bubbles.
Okay. Yeah, so similar, as Kevin was saying, the same similar relation appears in this category of representations of quantum groups, right? So, you take
yes,
like K node?
So, yeah, yes, I meant loop.
Loop of quantum groups, yeah. That's what Frankel and Hernandez papers, yeah. Yeah, it also kind of more down to earth. These are somewhat reminiscent of Plucky relations and some projective embeddings. Good, okay, so now let's talk about this. Yes, well, let me write down the, yeah, let's talk about this other Q. So there's a Q plus and then there's a Q minus. Turns out that there are more of them. There's like, if you wish, Q minus minus, double minus, and so on. So there's the whole while orbit worth of Q functions that satisfy similar relations like this one. So let's talk about that. So for this, let's switch gears to general case for general group G and SLN. I'll comment in the end. So now, say we have a GQ upper. It's called what's called extended QQ system, right? So you probably know this, right? So there's not just Q plus and Q minus, but like there's like a whole, you can mutate further down. But you'll see. So now let's take the Borel decomposition. So we have n minus h n plus. Group element is just also the product of little n minus h little n plus. And let's take v plus I is the irreducible representation with highest weight omega. So it's an irrep of G. Omega I, so with respect to B plus, for example. And then we'll just look at the highest weight vector. So H V plus omega I. So convention, so H. So this is just the weight. Okay. The notation is taken from some paper on cluster algebras. Okay, and then we introduced first so-called principal minors. Right, so it's called delta is a function from G into C star, which are labeled by weights of the group element, right? And it's just simply equal to this highest weight. Right. So if you use these are just minors of those of that Kivronskian matrix, right? So you would take the first fundamental representation, second fundamental representation, et cetera, and you compute those determinants. But you can consider what is called generalized minors, which on the level of SLN corresponds to flipping the rows and the columns, right? So these are principal, but they're also generalized. Right, and that's the following. So we take, let's say, U and V are elements from the wild group of G. And then I want to introduce the delta U omega I comma V omega I of G, which is equal to the principal minor of this. Right, so I act from the left with one element, with the wild group, act from right with another element of the wild group inverted. And that produces me a two-parameter sort of family of those generalized minors. Again, if you think in terms of matrices, U permutes columns, V permutes rows. You can do it independently. And you can produce different kind of Q-Wronskian, for example. Right, and then you compute the determinant of that one. Right, so it turns out that, these guys, they satisfy similar quadratic relation as the Jacobi Lewis Carroll formula, right? So I'm not going to write the formula. I'm just going to give you the reference. So Famin Zelevinsky. So these are cluster algebra people, and they have a very hard combinatorial proof of this fact that if you introduce determinants, generalized minors this way, they write some quadratic relation, which roughly speaking looks like this: delta delta minus delta delta is equal to product delta negative ij over the Cartan matrix.
I assume at some point the fabric is that one complicated branches as helping that solutions.
Oh yeah, right. I mean, like the.
I mean, all these queues are monopole operators. I think not monopole operators.
Yeah, I remember. I did one paper on this with Anin today several years ago. I need to remind myself. This. So is the, I do think it's literally the QQ system. It's like the, so these are, hold on. So the mon, right. So the monopole operator, what's the, how does it manifest itself in the QQ formula?
Myself.
Yeah, let's look into this. Yeah, I do have a paper on that. Yes, I have to, right. And then the, yeah, if asking like what's the kind of physics meaning of this guys, like if you take Seiberg varieties on your Krieger gauge theory, right? And you can do like them in cascade, right? You can sort of take a node, right? And then mutate on this and again, and then you'll get, well, different theory, and then you'll get different Q functions. But they still should satisfy this quadratic relation on this one. So, can I go until 11? What's the time constraint here? Or you guys have to run somewhere?
I think going to 11 is fine. There's another talk at 11, but if people want to go to that, they can always run.
Yeah, I'll cut some corners to get to the punchline. But is that okay? Good. Okay. So the there's that, and then okay. Well, to finish off here, the connection with Oper. So now take. And then one more thing, so Miura Oper can be diagonalized from the gauge transformation from Borel, not necessarily from G of Z, but from Borel. So if you have a Miura Oper, then you can take so V of Z, which is B, say B plus, which is in B plus of Z, and then your Q Oper can be diagonalized by that. Okay, so only say upper triangular matrices. So it's a stronger condition, right? And kind of this comes from the fact that a connection is invariant with respect to the other Borel, so you can always make this happen. Now let's do this here. So say V is the gauge transformation that diagonalizes my Q connection, and what you can show is the following beautiful fact: is that the if you take the generalized minor, and I take so W is an element of the Weyl group, so I only take this U non-trivial, so W omega I comma omega I, meaning that the other guy, I didn't do anything with it, and I evaluate this on V of Z. So I think of this as a group element, right? So I'm considering the determinant. So here there's a lift to the loop group, but let's skip that. So I'm considering the generalized minor of the diagonalizing element, okay? And claim that this is equal to one of those generalized Q functions. So this is Q omega I, well, they have to write plus of Z. So if W is a trivial element, you get yourself Q plus. If it's a simple reflection, you get yourself Q minus. If you have, say, two reflections, you had the next guy and the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. Okay? Now, more explicitly, this function S, the generating function of the line bundle in the JLN oper, you can show that it's formed exactly by these Q functions. So you can actually make sense of every component of that matrix literally in this language. So yeah, so that S of Z is equal to Q, well, trivial element, I, yeah, so Q. Oh no, I'm basically good. So this is what you do. So say you have a Dynkin knife, you sit on the first node, right? And then you keep acting with Weyl group elements, right? So the I index is always equal to 1, right? And then you can have Q simple reflection, 1, and then there's Q like alpha 1, alpha 2, 1, and so on. And then in the end, we have the polynomial corresponding to the longest chain of reflections in the Weyl group, right? So each of those polynomials in the component of the section gives you the. So they are the corresponding generalized minors, right? And there's sort of interesting connection to the cluster algebra literature. So yeah. Okay, so since I'm short on time, let me do. So there's a story for the general group G, which I sort of touched on slightly. So you can ask how this generalizes to general type. It doesn't have to be simply laced. You can take G2, for example, right, or E8. You need to introduce an intermediate object, which is called Murer-Plucker hopper, right? Which is roughly speaking, you look at various two-dimensional projections of this construction. So basically, consider ith fundamental representation of your group G, take the highest weight vector, and then take the vector which corresponds to simple reflection from that vector. So these two vectors are they form a two-dimensional subspace, and you can do it for every fundamental representation. So you can take your hopper and you can project it down to this two-dimensional, to all of these two-dimensional representations. Okay, and you demand that all these projections put together will give you this element Z. Okay, so this is called Murer-Plucker, when sort of you cut it into these two-dimensional pieces. In each of these two-dimensional pieces is like an SL2 key hopper. Good. And now we need to show that under certain non-degeneracy conditions, which boil down to the fact that zeros of these polynomials never differ by an integral multiple of Q, right? You can show by applying this kind of mutation-like transformations that it's all there is, right? So essentially every Murer-Plucker Q-oper is also Murer-oper in the presence of this non-degeneracy condition. And you can prove it for any complex simply connected simple D group G, and this is the paper with Frankel and Seitlin and Sage. And in the last several minutes, let me explain connection to many body integrable systems, right? And also spin chains. So let's take SL2. SL2 Q oper, right? So say in the diagonal gauge, so A is equal to Z, which is zeta 1, zeta 2, right? And then what's the oper condition? I have my section acting on, and then I have the shifted section equal to some lambda, right? So that's SL2 oper. Now, I told you that the section is generated by the components of the section are this Q functions, right? And for SL2, there are just two Q functions. So this is the determinant of the 2x2 matrix, Q plus, Q minus, zeta 1, Q plus, QZ, zeta 2, Q minus of QZ equals lambda. So you compute 2x2 determinant to get the QQ system, right? Which is in turn equivalent to the XXZ spin chain. But you can do something else, right? So let me write it here. Let's assume that Q plus is equal to Z minus P1, and Q minus is equal to Z minus P2. So our notation is suggestive. So these are just, it's a very simple hopper with like a, whose a section has a components of degree 1. Okay, and then I write down that matrix, and because it's linear in Z, I can write the left-hand side, well, that equation, as Z minus some other matrix, which I'm going to call M. It's actually Z times, well, it's Z times van der Monde matrix minus some matrix which I call M is equal to lambda, and then I can allow myself to write some constant here. Right, so we'll allow this constant to be this van der Monde determinant. I can divide by this, and I'll have the spectral curve, some matrix L, which is the Lax matrix, right? And turns out that with this data, with this taking place, L is the Lax matrix of trigonometric RS model. Right, so it generates the Hamiltonians, right? So it's trace is equal to, in this notation, zeta 1 minus q zeta 2, zeta 1 minus zeta 2 p1, plus zeta 2 minus q zeta 1, zeta 2 minus zeta 1 p2, and its determinant is p1, p2. So these are so-called McDonald operators. Yeah. So, you see that you look at the space of opers, right, by changing the data like singularities and the twists, right, and you can find connections with the QQ system. You can have quantum spin chains. You can have many body systems like dark Ruzinars. Then there's connection to cluster algebras. And some others, right? So with the right point of view, all opers are in the center of the universe. Okay, I think I can stop here. So yes, I'm happy to answer more questions.
Questions? So this geometric construction and algebra, geometric groups of the opers and so on. So I mean, in integral systems, there's always a big question of completeness of Bernoulli's equation for it.
So it's all guaranteed if you impose this non-degeneracy condition. So say, example, those i's. So to make all this work flawlessly without any issues, you need to require that it's never, apart from each other by the Q multiple. If they are, then there are issues, but you can deal with them. So in type A, it's quite straightforward. In fact, I've been working on this in physics literature, all this brains, Higgsing stuff like that. So if you impose a condition like that, in general type, the answer is not known yet. Basically, what happens if you allow degeneracies, how bad this will, which extra steps need to be done to make it work. But in type A, it's fine. In other types, it's still an open problem. Yeah.
What other question would be? So in the spin chain language again, and all these cubes and so on, there would just be these equations, just eigenvalue equations for some commuting operators
yes.
In a dimensional algebra. But of course, there's more. We have Jungian quantum math and algebra. Is there some natural action of these things in the geometric point of view? Would you know that they're there? Unless you knew that these were actually the equations of the eigenvalues of some integers.
So yes, I already, from the beginning, I constrained myself to certain type of functions. I have bundle on P1, right? So essentially, my Qs can only be polynomials, right? And in that case, there is no issue. So you can include different boundary conditions, and then sort of this algebraic geometric construction will change, right? And I don't think it was done. Yeah. Like for example, in the ODEIM correspondence, which I'm trying to understand now, those Qs are some entire functions, right? And you would have here instead of you need to look at some punctured disk. Like opers on punctured disk, we have allowed to fall around polynomials. So some behavior at the puncture at infinity, right? But you need to start from scratch. Yeah.
I have a comment that there is one analysis here. So it's a flat geometry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the algebras of these cubes and p's and so on. But it's not there's nothing about the action specific.
Yeah, so my question would be, if these set of points which should solve this system, how would I know that these correspondence with physical algebra like a Hamiltonian of some individual system?
And so you need to specify this system you're talking about, this C, which is a Schwab permutation, and so on.
Yeah, right. And then for those, you can probably find your space of opers. Yeah. So right now I'm trying to work on this, So I'm trying to understand this in the ODEIM correspondence by BLZ, right? And then how this embeds into the story, and they have what's called affine opers, right?
By the vectors in this form.
by message to see essentially.
Yeah, I hope you can tell me more on this
one. So I'm giving the next lecture, so I guess.